And I can't see up close, and I can see great far away. So I see there's a fly on the wall back there. I can see that, but we'll see what happens. I got a lot of things to go over real quick before we get into our message today. Number one, if you're visiting with us, please be sure and fill out one of these little connect cards. And it says, glad you came. We really are. We're glad you're here. And that's not just a statement. We're glad you're here. And there's a little glass or plastic vase back there. Put that in there and let us know you were here. And we'll just text you and say thanks for coming. If you're also, if you have a prayer concern, put it on here and put it in there. And that's how we pray. And we pray every week for our church. And if you would like to be a part of our text community, you can do that too. So that takes care of that. Annette, you did super duper. Way to go. Can you give her a nice big hand? Jen and Eric, you did good. Eric, particularly, you did great. Good job. And that was awesome. And it is so cool to have dedications like that. And afterwards today, after our service, we're going to have a baptism. And I believe next week we're going to have another one. So God is he's doing some good things, and we're excited about that. We're excited about God and what he does in our lives and as he changes us and moves in us on a daily basis. What else did I want to say? There was one other thing, and I just am not getting. Oh, next Sunday. Next Sunday, please be sure and come back. Our husband and wife team, Made to Worship, is going to be here. They also have their child, a teenager, is in it. And sometimes they get different people to come. And so they do a wonderful job. It's going to be our prayer time for our back to school. I know school starts back, some of you already, and starts this week. But we're going to pray for our children and for our teachers and our administrators next week during our service. And so we encourage you to come for that. And that'll be really, 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 really super duper duper duper. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. What a blessing it is to have this family here at Impact Christian Church. We are so glad to be the part of the global family of you, to be a part of people who are worshiping you now or worshiped you last night or going to worship you today together as a body. And we just are thankful that we can come and be a part of that, that scene, God, because we're so thankful that you give us the reason for why we do everything. It's the reason we breathe. It's the reason we work. It's the reason we come to church. It's because of you and your son, Jesus. Help us never, ever, ever to forget that. God, help me to be open to what you want me to say today and to shut my mouth where I need to shut it and open it where I need it to open. I pray that our hearts and our minds will just connect today in a special way. We love you and praise your name. Amen. We're in the book of James, and if you got your Bibles, you can go on and turn to James chapter 4, and it'll be also up on the stage, or on the not the stage, but up there, and so you can see it. Today we're in this series as we preach through the book of James. We're on the fourth chapter, and we're if I had to give it a topic, I would say our topic today is rock solid faith, faith for facing an unknown future. Faith for facing an unknown future. James was talking to the Christians there in the church at the time, and he's talking to us today as we sit here in this room or as we watch at home in our living rooms. Dealing with change is really hard. Have you ever noticed that, how hard it is to change? You ever try to change something? Yeah? It's hard. It's hard to change. And change also gives us a picture into not just it's hard, it gives us a picture into tomorrow is so unknown, because if I change, then maybe are people going to like me, or what's it going to be like tomorrow, what's the climate going to be, and so there's so much things that we don't know. We only know about today. That's truth. We don't know about tomorrow. We can forecast, we can pay people to tell us what's going to happen tomorrow, but honestly, we don't know. And the unknown is scary. It's very scary. God warns us many times in his word to not worry about tomorrow, not to be so concerned about tomorrow, but yet most of us are concerned about tomorrow. Ecclesiastes 8:7, it says this, no one knows what will happen in the future, and there's no one who can tell us. Isn't that true? Yes, so true. You can try and you can say this person really knows what's got the pulse of what's going on. None of it really matters. Doesn't matter at all. What matters is who knows the future and who holds the future, and that's God. Let's read James 4:13-17 together. Well, you don't have to read it out loud. Just listen and you can read along with me. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to a certain city and we will stay there a year. And we'll open up a business there and we'll make a profit, but you don't even know what will happen tomorrow, and your life is as brief and uncertain as a mist of a morning fog. It's here a little while, but then it disappears. So instead, what you ought to say is, if it is the Lord's will, we will live long enough to do this or that. Otherwise, you're just boasting and bragging about yourself, and that kind of pride is wrong and it's evil. But remember, anytime you know the right and good thing to do, but you don't do it, then you sin. Then you sin. In those five verses, the book of James explains to us how to avoid three very common mistakes that we make about tomorrow. And I don't want you to make those mistakes, and James doesn't want you to make those mistakes. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you, and he brought you here today to share this message with you. The first mistake is this. We think about the future is when we do it, we make plans, and we make a plan without asking God. And when you make a plan without asking God, you have a problem. It is one of the biggest mistakes that Christians make, because we assume that God is in on it. We assume that he sees everything, that he knows everything, that he is a part of everything. But verse 13, he says this. He says, listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to a certain city and we will stay there a year and we will open up a business and we'll make a profit. Now that's a very succinct statement that he makes in this thing. At a glance, as you read that, it seems like a really guy who's got it together. I would say that this is like two businessmen that have got together and they're talking. And they're talking about what they're going to do. And they make a forecast. They make a vision for the future. This guy's got a plan. And it's a thoughtful plan. It's a very, very thoughtful plan. He says, if you look at it, he talks about the wind. When are we going to do it? Today or tomorrow we're going to do this plan. And then he says, where? Well, we're going to go to a certain city. So he answers that. And then he says, how are we going to, we're going to stay there a year. That's how long. And then we're going to open up, what are we going to do? We're going to open up a business. So, okay, there's that. And then what's the why? Because we want to make a profit. We want to make a profit. And then the who? Because he's got a partner. He says, we. So he gives us a business plan. It's a great thing. He says you got to have a strategy. You got to have a purpose. You got to have a plan. And you got to have a place. And you got to have a partner. And you got to be sure that you're profitable. Perfect. This all sounds good. In the Bible, God says that making an honest profit is smart. It's very, very good. So what's wrong? What's wrong with planning, Jeff? Well, here it is. And I want some of you to really listen up today, because some of you are making some big plans in your life. You're making plans with your life. There's nothing wrong with making plans. But the key to this, the answer to this, is here's how you do it. God, you do it with, if you don't ask God's blessing, if you don't ask him for direction, while you're making the plan, you have taken the whole process and you've derailed it. Because what most of us do, we make the plan. I'm going to go do this job. I'm going to move to this certain area. And then, God, I want you to take that big old godly rubber stamp and I want you to go kaboom. And the kaboom lands and we go, oh, that didn't work out. That wasn't the right job. That wasn't the right place. It's because we didn't get him from the inception. We didn't say, God, where do you want me to go? God, there's where I'm going. You bless it. That's the way we do it. And so the answer I want to say to you today, as you make any forecast for tomorrow with your life, pray before you plan and listen as you plan. Well, I'm good at that. It doesn't matter if you're good or not. Maybe God has a completely different direction for you. What if it's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to earn $100,000? It doesn't matter if you're going to earn $200,000. If that's not where God wants you to go, you're missing what God has for you. Proverbs says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your understanding, but in all your plans and all your planning, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. He'll make your path straight. You don't have to make your path straight. And that's what most of us live in. We live in this business of, I'm going to make my path straight. Because I'm good at this, right? I can do this. Or they ask me, so I'm coming. Must be God's will. Nope. James 1:3, way back, we studied this several weeks ago. If you don't know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. For he already knows to give you a generous supply of wisdom in all that you ask. He will give you the wisdom if you ask. Now, but it's not quick enough. You see, I got to do this. I'm very unhappy in my job. I'm unhappy with my spouse. I'm unhappy with this relationship, so I'm just going to cut it off. God says, no. The only thing that is certain, church, in this world is God's word. It's so important that we get a hold of this. So here's your homework for today. If I had to say there's a homework coming, here's the homework. I never give homework. And so if you're here visiting, I'm sorry, but I'm sending you home with some homework, okay? And you take up the challenge or not. Here it is. For the next week, I would like you to take maybe 15 minutes, a couple days this week, and I want you to set aside 15 minutes to make a plan with God in mind. God, what do you want me to do? I don't want you to make the plan. I want you, God, what do you want? What is your will for my life? What is your will? What do you want me to do? Not what I want to do. What is your will for my life? And it ends up being a very personal plan. And it gives you direction. And it gives you confirmation, because then God starts to answer some of those things. And some of those things, he won't. Some of those things, he may just let lie there. And that's okay. That's all right. Lord, what do you want me to do for the rest of this year? There's 152 days. 152 days. What do you want me to do with 152 days from today? Do you understand how important those 152 days? You're not going to get them back. They're not coming back to you. They are gone. We're going to talk about that here in a minute, what James says. Lord, what do you want me to do for the rest of the year? And what is your will for me? Pray before you plan. Then the second thing, the mistake, here's another mistake that we pray, and James hits us right on the head. He says, we assume that we've got tomorrow. We assume that we have tomorrow. James 14:16 says this. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Duh. One of the biggest duh verses in the scripture. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're going to go to this city and you're going to build this and you're going to start this business. And you're even going to know what you're going to, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And your life is as brief as a mist in the morning fog. Whew, boy, that hits like a champ. It's here for a little while, he says, and then it just disappears. So instead, James says, what you ought to say is this as you plan, if it is God's will. When's the last time you used that phrase in anything? Ouch. If it is God's will. James says, otherwise, you're just bragging. I'm going to go get that job. Going over there and get me them jobs over there. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this with my life. You're just boasting. You're puffing up your own chest. And that kind of pride is wrong and it's evil. You got to be very careful as you plan that you don't leave God out of the mix. And you got to assume that you don't have tomorrow, that you do not have tomorrow. First, he says in Corinthians, this is, I think I put it up here, so that you can take pride as yourself without conquering yourself to, or sorry, comparing yourself to others. It's just dumb to presume about tomorrow. It's sinful to waste your life. And I want to be very kind and I want to be very honest. A lot of you are wasting your lives. The 152 days you've got can be different, but stop wasting what God gave you. It is a precious gift. It is like a fog that will lift, and when it lifts, it is gone. You have no influence. You have nothing. You are in paradise. You are in heaven, which is perfect, but you've lost your influence here on this earth. God put you here to be an influence in somebody's life. At your work, at your school, at your relationship status with all the people around you. He wants you to make a difference. He doesn't want you holing up in a little apartment. He doesn't want you holing up in a basement. He doesn't want you holed up and watching Netflix all day. He doesn't want you doing that. He wants you to get out and be an influence to the people that you know. That is your world that he made you to go into. Remember, go into all the world. It doesn't have to go to Jamaica. You don't have to go to Japan. Go to your apartment complex. Go to your sphere of influence. Go there. There are two reasons you shouldn't assume that we have a lot of time, according to James. First, he says, because the future is unknown. You think? And he says that it starts off, this sentence, he says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And much less what's going to happen next week or next month. None of us can predict what will happen in any of the days that are coming ahead. The day before 9-1-1, do you think anybody could have ever predicted that was going to happen? The day before the COVID came and shut us down, and it hurt us then, and it's hurting a lot of us now. Could you have ever predicted when somebody you loved so dearly passed? Could you have ever predicted that was going to happen? Caught me by mistake. No, it just happened. People we love, they die, and they die like that. You and I, we will die like that. One day we are here, the next day we are not. Do you see how this is important? This is not another just come in, listen, sit down, and walk away. This is a day to change. This is a day to start and say, I've got to value 24 hours. I've got to value 6 hours. I don't have to blow them off. I don't have to get through them. I don't have to just make it till I can fake it or fake it till I can make it. God is not calling us to that. The only thing certain in this life, the only thing, and it's not taxes either, is God's word. And you're going to die. Life is unpredictable, and you may not have it tomorrow. Thanks, Jeff, for lifting us up. The second thing that he says, that James says, and it's a mistake, is that you got to remember and stop thinking that you're going to live forever. Most of you 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, if I could tell you one thing, and I think a lot of the older people here would say this, Be sure that you treat your body differently when you're young. Take care of it. Don't, you're not going to live forever. Don't go picking up things you shouldn't pick. I picked up couches with my hands. Today my back and my knees, they pay for it because I was a hoss and I was going to pick up that stuff. I was going to do that stuff. And so what he's saying here is that you, it's only temporary. What you got here is just temporary. It is not going to be forever. This body you have is wearing out. Even if you're 17, 18, 20, you are in a wearing out phase. Ask some of the 80, 70-year-olds that it hurts just to sneeze. What did I just break? Someone smarter than me figured this out, that the basic order of age today is 75 years. You live to be 75. Which makes sense. That's 27,375 days the average human being lives. And each one of us in this room, each one of us at home, is one heartbeat away from eternity. This is all you get here. I'm not saying heaven isn't incredible. I'm saying don't waste the gift that God gave you, your life. He made you for a reason, for a purpose. Make it count. That's the second key. Make every day count. Matthew 6:34, Jesus says this, "Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries." You think? Tomorrow's got plenty. I got enough today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Stop borrowing trouble from tomorrow. Stop borrowing trouble for what may happen next week. And live today. Today. Proverbs 27:1 says this in the Message version. I love the Message version. And some of it's messy and some of it, you know, you can throw out. But this one I've checked and it's good. It says this, "Don't brashly brag about what you're going to do tomorrow because you don't know the first thing about tomorrow." And when you assume that tomorrow you're going to do this, tomorrow you're going to do that, you are assuming wrong. And you know what the word assume means. I won't go there. Somebody said that life is what happens while you're making other plans. And I think that's what a lot of us are suffering from today. We've been making these other plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And life just goes, whoo. Right by us. The third mistake that we make, and we're just about done, about the future, is we delay doing the right thing now. And James hits that really, really hard. Procrastination. Got any members in that club today? Anybody that puts, three of us. The rest of you are procrastinating. You don't put up your hand till later. We don't do the right thing. We got to do when we know the right thing to do, we need to do it then. James talks about this ad nauseum. 4:17, he says this. But remember, anytime you know the right thing and good thing to do and you don't do it, listen, church, that's a sin. That's a sin. Take care of your body. Take care of others. Be sure that you do the basic things that he asks you to do and do it. And you know the basic things. You know it's wrong. You know what's wrong, and you do it anyway because you think you're the special sauce. You think you're the one, the only one that can live with your partner. You think you're the only one that can go over the speed limit. You think you're the only... No, you're not. You are not the special sauce. It's important to understand. Anytime you know the right and good thing to do it and you don't do it, that's a problem. It brings sorrow. And I know I ought to change, but I think I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow I will change. And then that makes our tomorrow very much more unknown because we had the opportunity today to do something with that gift that's in front of us, and we didn't. We didn't. So as I close, I want to give you three personal questions. Here they are. I don't know if I put them up there or not. If they show up, then God bless. Thank, way to go, Tom. Tom is awesome, by the way. Thank you, Tom. Number one, listen to these questions, and I want you to get reflective a little bit. What's the next step in your spiritual growth? What obedience do you need to take right now, and what is it that God is calling you to do that you have not done? Or in other words, what are you doing that you know is wrong? You need to change it. You and God need to change it. What do you know that God wants you to do and you're not doing it? For some of you, it may be something real basic, like maybe we're getting ready to do Bible studies and life groups around here. Maybe it's just as simple as, I am not doing that. I don't want people to know my business. I don't want to show up at a life group. No. Maybe it's simple as just saying, I need to spend some extra time with some people. So I'm going to come serve. I'm going to find a way to serve my community. I'm going to find a way to serve with hands and feet. I'm going to find a way to serve at the hub. I'm going to find a way to serve at the church. I'm going to find a way to do what God made me to do, because you can't let the few do what the many are supposed to be doing. And that's what happens in so many places today. Any church that is worth its salt is a church that serves. And it serves not just the church. Most churches just serve the church. That's not the church's job, is to serve the church. To be a greeter. That's nice, and I'm not saying we don't need greeters. To be a musician. I love musicians. We need musicians. But he told us to serve our communities. And if you're not serving your community, then... You know the right thing to do, and you're not doing it. Number two question. What cause have you been using to not do what you know you need to do? Or sorry, what excuse? I can't read. What excuse have you been using not to do what you know you need to do? Well, they won't like me. Or I'm not good at it. Or they'll make fun of me. Or... You go on. You've got the excuses. You're the one that's been using them. What are they? What are the excuses for you not doing what God is asking you? And I'm saying, forget the church for a second. Get out in your community and do something. Your community needs you too. Your neighbors need you to serve them. People around you need you to serve them. What are you doing in that regards? And then lastly, when are you going to stop aiming? Well, I'm aiming to do that. I'm wanting to do that. And when are you going to pull the trigger? I want to do that. Pastor, that's a good idea. I'll do that. Been thinking about that for a long time. Pull the trigger. Pull it. Stop holding it and just doing this. Going around acting like you're going to do something. Do it. Do it. But make sure God wants you to do it. Make sure he's in the process. Do what you need to do now. You don't know if you've got tomorrow. Sure, you're saved. Sure, you know Jesus. Sure, you've got an incredible eternity coming to you. But what about somebody else that's still here that needs your influence, that needs your love, your kindness, your mercy, your grace? Think about that. 1 John says this, 2:3-4. We can be sure we know Christ if we obey his commands. And I'm going to read it off here because I can't read it. The one who says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar. Do you like being called a liar? I don't either. So as a church family, go ahead, Bob. As a church family, we're here today, and we're at a crossroads. Band, you can start making your way up too. So I have a challenge for you today. Maybe if you've been on the internet or if you saw on some things on our church, you've seen this sign. Maybe I brought it up here because I'm going to start putting these around. But it says, All for Jesus, all for Jesus. And it's more than just a saying. This is not a spiritual emphasis for our church. This is not a program. This is a reminder to you, church, what everything is about. It's about what we do here as a church, that when we come to church, it's all for Jesus. Everything you do is for Jesus. It's so easy to get caught up in the mistake and the mundane. We forget why we do what we do. We forget why we come to church, because we just think we're supposed to. If I come and I fill a seat and nobody's, they say, yeah, it's good you were here. Go home. That was nice. That was nice. It's so easy to get caught up in the mundane and just go through the paces. Colossians says this, Annette already read it. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, in all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, listen, I'm going to look for ways to help us keep our focus on this mission. This is not a program. I want to say it one more time. You're getting a band. I hate bands. I'm the last person in the world that likes these things because, number one, they don't fit good on my hand. I never find one that fits my arm. So I put it on a cup, and I stretched it for 2 weeks, and I've been wearing it for 2 weeks. It finally fits. I hate bands. So understand, I'm making you, the next 6 or 8 weeks, I want you to wear these bands. And I want you, every time you look at that, I want you to think, when you're married, everything I do is for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. When you are dating, all I do is for Jesus. When you are getting ready to have a fight, this is for Jesus. I'm going to do it Jesus' way. When you are in a place at work where you're ready to pull out your pistol and shoot somebody, no, it's all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. When you're worshiping Jesus, when the band is up here leading you, it is not about the music and the notes that they play, because it doesn't matter if they are off key all the time. It doesn't matter if their songs are horrible. It's still all for Jesus. And I don't think they are. I'm not saying that. But I want you to get, you didn't come to church to be entertained. It's about Jesus. When you're working, it's all about Jesus. And when you're parenting and you're being parented, it's all about Jesus. Those little ones that God has given you, they're there for not for you, not for your amusement, not for you to irritate you. They're there because God gave them to you as a gift. They gave them to you as a gift. And there's those of you that are still being parented, it's all for Jesus. Everything you do. As you relax, it's all for Jesus. See, church, the devil, he likes to convolute that message. And he's convoluted so much we forget. And we begin to think that this life is about us. We get sidetracked because it then becomes about our enjoyment, our comfort, our what's going on with us. And that is wrong. So as you go forward these next 6 or 8 weeks and you see this and you get to a point where you're starting to do something, maybe just flick it on your wrist and be reminded that what you're about is everything that you're about is for Jesus. I've got plenty of those. If you lose them, come back and get them. If you want to give some away, I've got plenty. But I want you to do this, not because it's fashionable to wear because it isn't. Not because it's cool because it isn't. Not because it's trendy because it isn't. But because I want you to have a reminder. And I'm going to do everything I can to keep us focused this next year to remind you why we do what we do. Let's pray. Band, you can start playing along a little bit.